I think the industry as a whole of entrepreneurship overly romanticizes the burn the boats entrepreneurs, that people believe that somehow they cannot be successful unless they quit their job.
Hello, everybody. It's Jake Stanziano, host of the Wheelbarrow Profits Podcast, here with my co-host, the multifamily mentor, the coach, the chef, the father of six, the best-selling author, the G-Daddy, Gino Barbo. Gino, how's it going?
Mr. Stanziano, I'm doing great today. I'm honored and privileged to have these two guests on today because they've been really a big partner to the Jake and Gino education platform. And what they have to talk about today, building a business, I think building your why, helping others, it's just an amazing story. And I just want to share their story of success and maybe bash California a little bit in the process. So we'll see how that goes.
Hey, everyone knows we are not tech people, but real estate is a team sport. So you got to make sure you partner with the right folks. So without further ado, today's guests are Jonathan Cronstadt, president of Kajabi, and Kenny Reuter, the CEO and co-founder. Kajabi is an all-in-one online business platform empowering entrepreneurs globally to succeed online. Now, Jonathan's executive leadership spans diverse industries from digital marketing, finance, to direct sales. And Kenny is committed to the success and celebration of the company's hashtag Kajabi Heroes and the growth and opportunity for all the team members. Sounds like they got a great culture going on over there. Mm-hmm. So without further ado, Jonathan and Kenny, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having us.
Yes, thanks for having us. And do me a favor, skip the Jonathan and just go with J-Cron. If anybody watches this, they'll be really confused if you call me Jonathan. Nobody knows.
J-Cron in the house. I didn't know if it was a rapper or what, so I was just trying to keep it down the fairway. But now that we're here, we're doing it. So we're bringing the pain.
Yeah, I had the option between hip-hop and marketing, and unfortunately I chose marketing, but, you know, kept the name.
Dude, you can go back to some of that rap metal and Limp Bizkit, so we're bringing it. So anyways, guys, we've enjoyed Kajabi. We're users. We've really enjoyed it. It's helped scale our education business. But before we get into all that, tell us how the company came together and in the beginning, how you guys started to grow.
Yeah, so the company came together 10 years ago, and it was just the result of trying to solve a problem that I had myself, and that was trying to get out of the cubicle. I was a software developer, and I wanted to kind of write my own destiny and be in control of my own ship. And so looking for a lot of different, you know, whether they were side hustles or new businesses I could start. And in one weekend of kind of desperation, it was just the most unexpected of places to find a business idea. I was just with my kids, and I built the sprinkler toy for them outside out of PVC pipe that plugged into the hose and it sprayed water down. They'd ride their bikes and their scooters through it. And, you know, I got this idea that maybe I could sell these things online, and just, you know, cause they were really fun to build. Realized really quickly, it's way too hard to do a physical products business, all of the logistics involved in that. So I mm-hmm. said, hey, it would be even cooler to film some videos on how to do this thing and sell those videos online so other parents could do them as projects with their kids. And quickly realized there was no easy way to sell information online. There was no easy way to upload some videos, put a price to them, and, you know, a document, maybe like a Home Depot shopping list kind of thing, and sell those. And so quickly turned away from that idea and onto the bigger idea. The world needed a software tool that was simple, that let people focus on their message and not the technology. And that's where Kajabi was born.
Wow. So J-Cron, when did you join Kajabi? Were you one of the founders?
Oh, no, Kenny and I always love telling the story because I think it's a fun one that you probably haven't heard in many businesses. So I met Kenny through an industry friend probably about 6-7 months after Kajabi launched, and had the pleasure of working with him as a consultant. Now, as a small company then and limited resources, they wanted to hire somebody better looking and more talented than me. So they swapped me out for Frank Kern. And so Kenny took me to a coffee shop and said, hey, dude, no love lost, gotta let you go. And I said, okay, cool, you know, let's stay friends. This was a lot of fun. And so stayed friends over the years. And then probably about 3 years later, they hired me back as the vice president of business development, was gonna be helping them with some product launches. And really the company had grown. And so fun story for those Seinfeld fans out there. When I first got fired, I actually left behind the only printer that Kajabi had in the office. It lasted almost 7 years. And then the second time I got hired back, I ended up getting a stand-up desk called a geek desk. That'll come back into the story in a moment. But about 3 weeks after taking the position, I was offered the CEO job of digital marketer with my friends Roland, Ryan, and Perry. And it was just too exciting to pass up. So I took Kenny to a coffee shop and quit 3 weeks later. And he said, "Hey, dude, no love lost. This was fun. Let's stay friends." So ended up renting an office from them. I end up at Digital Marketer for a year and basically rented an office from Kajabi. Well, they were growing like crazy. And all of a sudden, the first geek desk that I left in their office became the official company desk. So I basically came back to an office full of everybody standing at these desks. And it was really fun to watch. And then about 4 years ago, I was transitioning out of Success Magazine. We had just launched their digital education arm and was in my office. Kenny's like, "Hey, dude, how was Dallas?" I'm like, "It, you know, it's Dallas. They asked me to move. I'm not going to move from Southern California. And I'm not really sure what to do." He's like, "Well, your furniture is already in this office. It might be easier than, you know, trying to have you move out. So let's see what you can do." And that was 4 years ago. And, you know, so third time's the charm. And here we are.
Wow. So, Kenny, did you have business experience before you launched Kajabi?
Not really. I was a software developer. And in college, I had minored in kind of like business information systems. But so I had a couple of accounting courses under my belt and things like that. But that was the extent of it. But I just kind of knew inside that I wanted to be an entrepreneur.
So let's walk through that. I mean, you have really little bit of business experience. You probably have the I'm a mentality, like Jake and myself. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. And you don't know, that's not the way to build a business, right? You've fired Jake Cron three times. Probably should have kept him on the first time, right?
No.
No ego. We don't care. We're here now. We don't care who fired who.
I'm trying to change the story. But really, I mean, it's like so overwhelming and daunting. Most people, Jake and I's motto is commit and then figure it out. You're obviously a commit and figure it out person. You know, done is better than perfect. How do you even start something like this? I mean, like, where did you even start? By even conceptualizing and creating a platform and starting a business.
Yeah, so my expertise wasn't in the marketing. It was in just building the software. So I thought, oh, this is awesome. And I just dug in and worked night and day to write a platform to do mm-hmm. this. And then I was kind of scared of knocking on doors and saying, "Hey, I have this cool product. Do you want to buy it?" And so it was just the natural thing in my mind was I need to find somebody who already has an mm-hmm. audience, who already has a need for this. And how can I help them? How can I go pitch them on, "Here's this new platform I'm building. You can use it for free. I'll help you, you know, let's just get this going." And so that's what we did. So for the whole year of 2010, it was some well-known people in the information marketing industry that were using like a beta version of Kajabi to launch their courses because they already had audiences. And at the bottom of all of their sites and their pages and all of that stuff, it just said little ominous link powered by Kajabi. And when people would click on that, they'd go to a page that just had a, you know, very, very little information. It was basically like, if you're interested in finding out more about Kajabi, put your email address here, something like that. So when October 2010 rolled around, we had between 7,000 and 8,000 signups on this wow. early bird, like kind of great. Interest list.
Yeah.
And so, awesome. So then just ran a launch for when we were finally ready to go, just emailed that list and said, "Hey, guess what? You know, we're going to reveal it and show what Kajabi's all about." And the rest is history. Literally overnight, October, I think 14th, 2010, we had a couple thousand paying customers. And so we were a profitable company at that point. And we continue to be profitable and bootstrapped for the next 10 years.
That's awesome.
I think being on the outside looking in to add a little bit of context to that and something that I think would be valuable for all of the entrepreneurs that are listening. Everybody wants to be that overnight success. And I think the area of Kajabi's story that very few people know and oftentimes isn't talked about is that Kenny literally coded for over a year before the public ever saw it. That it wasn't like I, you know, woke up one morning and all of a sudden I have a software company. That there was over a year of coding before anything ever shipped. And I think what's also part of that journey that is a nuance that oftentimes gets overlooked is that the coding and the product was the mission, that it was something of, I need to create something that adds value to this market. It was not this obsession of, I have a better way, do my thing, switch to my thing. Like it was very much a service oriented of how do we meet the need of the market, mm-hmm. which I think is a key distinction in how you approach anything versus the, oh, I love this product, or, oh, I want to build this. It's like, that may work, but it's a whole lot more predictable that if you're saying, I want to serve this market, and starting with that framework with a willingness to work, that's really where I think the success of Kajabi was built in that year and in that market service. Yep.
Mm-hmm. And I had firsthand experience of the pain points of trying to do it without a software like this. And it was mm-hmm. just unbearable. I was a coder and I got it to work and I did sell some of those, the sprinkler toy plans. But at the end of the day, it was hard. And I thought, wow, if I was focused on the technology more than the actual plans on how to build the stupid thing, then everybody else is too in their business.
Mm-hmm. So you were focusing on the fulfillment of the end user, it sounds like, and also you were profitable pretty quick. You know, I think a year is a short period of time. So how long from when you actually started coding before the profitability actually kicked in? What kind of gap are we talking about?
No, it was about that year of coding prior to launch.
That's like not I said, bad, guys. I mean, you know, yeah. You know, putting in a year. I mean, a lot of people aren't willing to put in 3 months, but I mean, you know, putting in a year is not, that's not a bad turnaround there.
Yeah. And no, I think it was a great trade-off. And during that time, you know, it wasn't like we didn't release any code that whole time. We just didn't sell it to the public, but we were using it with some of the biggest names in the information marketing industry to really battle test it and to really figure out the actual pay points. And, you know, when it really came to it, the experts who were already, doing this kind of marketing, you know, what did they need?
What were some of the challenges that you came about in the beginning? I mean, the coding after the year, after you have the product launch, I'm assuming marketing was a pain point. What other pain points did you have in the business?
I mean, it was figuring out how to run a business, right? Like I didn't have experience doing that before. So it was staffing up and building a customer support team and, mm-hmm. Figuring out how to not only launch good software, but how to, you know, support the customers when they had questions and things like that. I think those were a lot of the pain points early on.
And did you guys start off with core values and mission statement early on, or was that something you grew into? Because Jake and myself, we figured them out about 2 years ago because Mr. Stenziano was a corporate and he just hated core values. He was a terrible employee, but he's an amazing employee.
I hated corporate America as an employee, so I rejected it until I realized I needed that stuff.
Yeah,
yeah, so we
just throw all of it out, everything.
No, clearly not doing, going no. to. Clearly not going to business school, didn't have a mission statement, didn't have core values. We kind of lived core values and there's a lot of like yes. unwritten core values the whole time, but we never really memorialized them. And you know, business plan, anything like that until recently.
I think that's what really attracted us to Kajabi a few years ago. We can feel the core values with, like I said, the upgrades to the product. You're always continuing to grow. One of our core values is growth mindset. And at Kajabi, they are constantly upgrading their program and they're constantly listening. So when you have a problem, I have a problem, I can email, I can chat. They get back to me right away. They have a problem. And you know what? They'll say, hey, listen, we'll look into it. And they'll, at times they've upgraded their product because I've asked for something, and that's an amazing thing. And it's all about people first. That's one of our core values also. And when you put people first, as the great entrepreneurs know, if you take care of your employees, which you guys do, and then you take care of your customers, your shareholders, your bottom line will be the third thing, will all take care of itself. And that's one of the things that I was really instantly attracted to with Kajabi, because when you first start out, it's a difficult platform to utilize without an experience, but you guys make it so easy to do, and loading in videos and it's just a nice interactive interface software. And I love the fact that you guys are constantly growing. So,
so you want to know why? Because our number one core value, when we finally memorialize them, our number one is hashtag Kajabi Hero. So our customer is our number one core value. Mm-hmm. And we said everything we do, whether it's public facing or internally facing, is going to be for the benefit of the customer. And so that's all of those things that you just mentioned is because we're living our number one core value.
Wow. So Jake, Ron, Jake and I suck at marketing. Give us some marketing tips. Help us out here because we are.
Oh, wow.
We're amazing.
Yeah, you know what my favorite thing to do for those of you listening to this, the best thing in the world is to hop on a podcast with two guys that you respect tremendously that have done unbelievable things in the real estate world for your first meeting at 9 a.m. and they ask you to be brilliant on the spot with no context. That's what I really, really, really enjoy. But let's talk about marketing because I actually dig this stuff. This is an area that I think, and Kenny and I really approach this when we look at Kajabi and how we really try and help our users, is to demystify and decomplexify things that are roadblocks. And marketing is a big one that I can't tell you how many times I've sat down with an entrepreneur and they say, yeah, you know, I'm not using Kajabi because I need to multivariate split test 37 variables on this page and I'd like to use a Taguchi methodology. And I'm like, well, I know what all of those words mean too, but how much have you sold online? Oh, I haven't sold anything yet. Yeah, well, it's because you're still trying to come up with 37 variables for your landing page. Mm-hmm. We as an industry oftentimes benevolently bring so much knowledge with trying to help people on their journey that I think we overwhelm them and they end up just collecting all of these techniques and collecting all of these platforms mm-hmm. without ever implementing it. So for us at Kajabi, to quote my friend Mel Abraham, Mel kind of had this idea of just-in-time learning. And that's really where we believe marketing is best suited for your business. So you should be learning what you need to do to take step one, then step two, then step three. And for me, step one is, who is your customer and how well do you know them? That if you are not right now out there utilizing all of the free areas for Facebook Lives and for YouTube and for podcasting and just having those conversations to truly understand that customer and what their pain points are, that is the first step in all marketing. And I cringe when I meet an entrepreneur who's like, I'm so excited to buy Facebook ads. I'm like, have you ever sold anything online? No, but I'm going to run Facebook ads. I'm like, this is a recipe for disaster. Like, you'll meet the 1 in 1,000 that goes to Vegas, puts a dollar in a machine and wins a jackpot. And you're going to meet 999 people that lost their ass looking for that jackpot. And that's the entrepreneur that runs ads first. So foundationally, get to know your customer. What are their pain points? What are they struggling with? And I don't mean at the surface level. You've got to get to the level where you're not talking about a feature, you're not talking about a benefit, but you're talking about the benefit of the benefit. It's not, I want to be healthy and lose weight. It's not, I'd like to lose 30 pounds in 30 days. It is, I want to be able to take my shirt off at the beach and have my wife think I just got out of college and, you know, I look the best that I ever have. If you're not getting to those deeper psychological motivators and are able to speak to those as easily as you can talk about your business, you're not going to have the impact in your marketing. So first step, customer. That's where I'd start it.
I love that. So Jake, he just threw a status roll on us. 9 o'clock in the morning. It's pretty good. He shot out and he just nailed me with a few words. The Kakaguchi, whatever the heck that meant. So I like that. Kakaguchi. Yeah, whatever that is. So we don't do Taguchi.
It's 12:20. I don't know anything else but East Coast.
So, you know, it's ironic because that's what I did in the beginning. I was creating content and I was never asking, is this what the customer wants? This is what I know. So for everyone out there shooting a video, make sure you ask people what they want the content on, because I've shot countless videos that I think they're great, but who am I serving? I'm serving myself. I'm not serving my customer. And it took a long time to really learn that. So that's an amazing, amazing tip out there.
I can prove this, because if you guys go back afterwards and look up the data, I guarantee we probably have more video time than anybody else in Kajabi, because Gino is a content machine and just lets them rip. So it may be a little overwhelming at times, but.
So how have you guys.
Fun inside baseball story about Kajabi for you guys, you know, while we're talking about it. If you look at one of the unique differentiators that Kenny has solved for early on in the business, we have always said we are a company that is entrepreneur first. So even when you look at the fact that today you can be on Kajabi with unlimited Wistia video hosting for less than you could go get just a Wistia account today. So like if you were looking at video services, we bring an enterprise grade video hosting platform for less than you could get just that platform, not even including all of the other features of Kajabi. And there have been, over the course of Kajabi, there have been users that have grown so successfully that we are actually losing money on that account because they're doing so much video and they joined us in a season where maybe they're a founder and, you know, we are actually losing money on those plans. But these are people that we've basically said, you know what? They were successful. They joined us at the right time. We're happy to have them. Go with our blessing, because it really is something that we just want to see people bring about into the world, that business that matters so much to them, and not even getting into the, hey, we're going to whack you with a bandwidth charge. Like it's
now just, that we're talking to you guys, though, we'll send you a bill.
Yeah, totally.
Hey, Jake, if it makes you money.
Costs you nothing, baby. Here we go.
That's right. So, I mean, I want people signing up to Kajabi. And Kenny, can you speak to the persona, to the actual person that you guys are looking for? Because for me, I started a business called Gino's Family before Jake and Gino. And I fell in love with the company because it was me and my kids. We were doing gardening. We were doing coaching. I was doing, you know, cooking videos with them. I wrote a cookbook and it was awesome. Transition into real estate, right? So restaurant to real estate. So can you just speak to the persona of who you guys are looking for?
Yeah, we don't have that narrow of a persona, because I think that the platform is really applicable to a lot of different mm-hmm. types of businesses. So we've even kind of shied away from setting some companies, and when they're trying to learn how to market, especially, they're told, you know, create avatars of your customers and then speak mm-hmm. to these avatars. And we think about it a little bit differently. We think about it in this framework called jobs to be done. So what job are our customers hiring Kajabi for? And then how can we do that job effectively? You know, aside, putting all that aside, though, I think the personas, people like yourself, I love hearing stuff like that. People that are just, you know, scrappy, have some kind of knowledge or hobby, and they're out there trying to put it online and monetize that and share that knowledge with others. That's mm-hmm. a great one. We also see a lot of people that are already business owners. They already have a brick and mortar business, for example, and they want to augment that in the online digital world, hairstylists, physical therapists, people like that. And so that's another completely, common persona. And then finally, there's a lot of different personas, I would say. Then there's the larger personalities, kind of influencers, experts, people that are, instead of being on the speaking circuit all the time, maybe they're still doing that, but they're augmenting that with courses and high value, high price point kind of digital products.
Mm-hmm. I love that. I know we could spend 3 podcasts on this question, but can you give the listeners just a couple of tips on how to get started? It's daunting. It's overwhelming. I've got all this knowledge. I've got 1,500 apartment units. How do I teach people? How do I get on Kajabi? Where do I start?
Jay Cron, do you want to say my favorite word or should I?
No. I know exactly the first quality you're going to talk about, but now I'm thinking, man, I got to figure out how to get 1,500 apartments. But,
yeah, I know.
I want to know how to get one of those cups that comes with a saucer on it. I mean, these guys are innovative today. So that's for the YouTube folks.
Yeah, no, he makes fun of me because I say the word all the time, but I think just the number one quality above all else is grit. You just have to have it. You just have to decide that you're going to do this and then just not give up. And it sounds like those are the qualities that you guys said that you had as well. So it's kind of like, I just decided 10 years ago that this is going to work. I want to start this company and I'm going to do whatever it takes to make it happen. And so it's not like just the minute things got hard, I just stopped. So for our customers, if they wanted to get started, we've got a 14-day free trial. So it's just like, make that commitment, just sign up and say, okay, I'm going to do this and then start soaking up the information. Since our number one core value is our customer, that means that we want to, as quickly as possible, spoon feed success to our customer. And what we mean by that is just train them, level them up in areas that they might not know, give them personal one-on-one attention from our team who will get on the phone with you and help you onboard and ask you questions about your business and how you want to get started. And so that's really it. And it's just from there, it's just narrowing down, okay, what do you want to teach? And then just, okay, how do you structure that? And how do you start building an audience around that topic?
Mm-hmm. So, but Kenny, let me go back to that when you first started 10 years ago. For a lot of the listeners, I had clarity, right? When I was in the restaurant, for me, the clarity was I wasn't living up to my potential. I wasn't being a role model to my children. I was going to a job that I hated, right? So for me, that was the jump start. And everything from there emanated. My father had passed away at the restaurant a year later. It feels like I'm living his dream. So all that's come down cascading on me. And I don't know if it's grit. I just think when you're mid-30s and you don't know where you are, you're rudderless and you're like doing something you don't like. What was it for you? Because you were a trader, right? So, and you're building the sprinkle and you're like, you know what? Not really digging this. And all of a sudden you have that grit, but what gave you that grit? What was lacking in your life or what were you trying to accomplish?
Yeah. Great questions. I mean, I had done, I was working at software companies before and I always came across situations where I didn't necessarily agree with where the executives wanted to take it. And mm-hmm. It was right before the dot-com bust, in 99. And so I saw us have the opportunity to catch a lot of waves and we didn't catch them. And so I was like, okay, I probably could have done that better. And maybe a little bit of that was naivety. But and then from there, I was freelancing for different companies or individuals in some cases. And sometimes I was just like, I don't really like what they're doing. And so I just kind of early on decided, you know what, I would like to be the captain of the ship and just really have my family's future in my hands instead of somebody else's. And so, and so then, it wasn't like I hear stories of people that have grit but no business plan, and they're like, and it's more desperation. I have to make something work for my family, and then I hear stories of failure that way. But I think for us, it was I found a solution to the problem I had, and that was getting the information out there. And so I was focusing on the solution first, and not sitting around going, what ideas are there out there that could possibly make money? Because that's sometimes a losing proposition because you're going to get into crowded markets or whatever. But this was something that solved the problem. There wasn't any other way I knew that I could solve that problem. So I knew others would benefit from it as well.
I love that. Jay Cron, you want to add anything to that?
Definitely. This is something that I think for me, I think the industry as a whole of entrepreneurship overly romanticizes the burn the boats entrepreneurs, that people believe that somehow they cannot be successful unless they quit their job, unless they mortgage themselves to the hilt, unless they invest heavily, like beyond what they can possibly do in the next week, they're needing groceries. Like there are so many avenues where you can choose, you know, you've got your 9 to 5, but what about your 5 to 9? And there are so many areas where you can begin to explore entrepreneurship, get to know your clients, look for problems to solve in that margin area that you can then watch it blossom into a business that once it reaches a point where this is now taking away from my 9 to 5, then you can decide to make the leap. But I think that so many people are locked into this belief of, no, I got to go full time tomorrow. And it's like, well, but what if it doesn't work? Like, what if your first time it doesn't happen for you? And I mean, I know Kenny is, you know, leading up to Kajabi, Kenny had multiple side businesses that didn't really happen. I've had a whole lot of entrepreneurial endeavors that didn't connect up. And so people get this sort of, I guess I would call it bias that, oh, this worked and this is what you launched. Ergo, I need to leave whatever I'm doing and launch something. And it's like, no, it didn't really work that way. So I think that when you're getting started, really taking inventory of what resources do you have? What do you want your business to look like? But also, what is the end goal that you're striving for? What is success for you and how are you measuring against it? Is it a 6-figure annual income? Is it a 7-figure annual income? Is it a scalable business that is exitable and, you know, sellable down the line? Is it just a lifestyle business that goes with you wherever you go and it's more of a supplement to retirement? Like, unless you know the game you're playing and the rules of that game, you may end up getting to the destination and not even being happy with what you've built. So I think that early stage is a great opportunity to step back and say, okay, how much time do I have? What am I trying to build? And then begin to look at the business opportunities that intersect with your skill sets and how to serve that goal. That's the thinking that I think most people get lost in the, you know, hey, I'm just going to go for it. I'm going to build something. I'm going.
Yeah. One of the interesting things is that, you know, if you are able to have a 5 to 9, to your point, you can start to build that up until that 9 to 5 gets annoying and it's impeding on that 5 to 9. And that's one of the great things about multifamily. And what we love about it is that you can start small, build it up over time. And then the realization for me was, okay, I have something that's making more money than my 9 to 5 now. What the hell am I doing? And it was starting to tweak me. So that, you know, gave me the opportunity to take my boss to a Taco Bell and let her go. So, you know, we were talking about firing people before. I think one of the interesting things about Kajabi is how it allows for vertical integration. And if you're a passionate person and you're willing to work that 5 to 9, you know, we have a mortgage company, we have an investment arm, we buy apartments ourselves, we manage, we have the education piece. It allows for that additional vertical integration. So we do everything multifamily, that's it. Though we have an education arm, it is all around vertical integration and it allows you to do so much more. So, you know, we've talked about it before. Gino was in the restaurant industry. He was having, you know, physical products. He had the education on for the Gino's family. I think it's very easy. Say you're in a gym and you're personal training people. You can have personal training videos online. Maybe you own the building that you're in. This is the kind of thought process I think entrepreneurs should get in. It allows you to stay in your lane and do what you know, but expand and allow for additional revenue streams. And that's what, one of the things we love about Kajabi.
And Jake, what's freaking awesome about it is we created a maintenance program for our property management company and all the maintenance techs watching these videos on Kajabi. It's professional. They can ask questions. It is awesome. It's automatable and it doesn't cost us anything because we're making money with it. So that's the bottom line. You can utilize this in so many different ways. This one thing that I think Jake and I battle over a little bit sometimes, you know, Jake loves the Steve Jobs thing where people follow their passion and sometimes it doesn't go.
When do I love that?
Well, no, you think that people get caught up in passion. Like, you know,
Steve Jobs said, if you do what you love, you'll never work a day in your life. And I said, that was bullshit.
Yeah. Well, you said you invented CrossFit, right? Because you went to the gym and helped people out.
I started that way. I started following my passion. So guys, you don't know this. I invented CrossFit. I was about to open a gym. No one believes me, but it's true. And the reason I can document it, because there was a story written up in the local newspaper. But that's what I was rejecting, because what I found was if you pick the right vehicle, you can create a life of abundance for yourself and enjoy the stuff that you really want to do. Now I have a gym right below me in my house right now. I can go work out whenever I want. Before I was having to go to the gym and I was trying to create my passion around that. And I think that's wrong. I think it's, you know, the better you get at something and the more success you have with it, that actually fuels my passion. Everyone's different. I just was calling Steve out on that one. He was much more successful than I'll ever be, but shit, that's all I got to say.
Just going to say, Kenny doesn't follow that. I think it seems as if Kenny followed his passion. He went into coding, went into software, and he built a business around that.
I think he was passionate about sprinklers, you know.
Yeah, exactly.
So before we get to the short answer, last question for long answers, where do you see you guys see yourselves in 3 years? I saw that you have over $700 million in sales with students on that platform. Is that number
growing? No, that's old. It's at, it took us 9 years to get to just shy of $1.1 billion right. by our customers. It took us 9 years to get there, but now we're on pace for the customers to do $1 billion every year.
Yeah, so and that's your customers. That's wow. not you. Those are yeah. those are the real testimonials. That's the success yes. of your people.
That
that's
is
great.
Awesome. That is amazing. Wow. So where do
I
you?
Want, I want to piggyback off this for a second because of the platform, and we've been able to lever it. We've had our members through the Kajabi platform actually buy over 7,000 apartments since we've been on. So the trickle down effect is amazing. You guys are doing great things out there.
Yeah, I love that. I mean, it's been amazing. It's an easy tool to use, but where do you see yourselves in 3 years? I mean, $1 billion a year. What's the plan for the next 3 years?
Yeah, I mean, we're having a lot of fun doing it, and we see a lot of levers for growth and just supporting more and more customers that we're going to continue to pull. And, you know, I think there's a lot of ways we can continue to empower our customers and also stay the head of the game. I mean, when we started, like we talked about earlier, this was a new thing, and it was really the only company out there doing something similar. And now there's more and more, you know, people that are giving attention to this kind of business and this kind of space. And so we want to stay at the top of our game for sure. Mm-hmm. So 3 years, you know, continue to grow, and we'll see what happens after that.
Yeah. I think in all sincerity, you're just going to see us have the extremely boring entrepreneurs of scale answer, where really it's transformation for our customers and evolution for the business. That, you know, going back to what we were just sharing about putting $1 billion a year through the platform for our customers, the type of change that you see that, you know, is not the Instagram car, home, jet, shiny things are really the type of transformations we get most excited about. Like, I go back to Leah McHenry. She was a Celtic metal musician. All kidding aside, it's a thing.
And like heavy metal, like Celtic metal, like
with metal? Picture like heavy metal, but with like violins and like other artsy stuff.
That's awesome. That's awesome.
So she was homeschooling 5 kids and had a passion for music. Realized, I'm not going to make any money unless I'm going on tour. I'm homeschooling 5 kids. I'm not going on tour. What am I going to do? So she literally starts building a brand and starts doing Facebook ads to sell her music, and begins to have a fair amount of success with it. And she's like, you know, there are so many musicians that really would love to be able to sell their music without going on tour. So she offers a course on how to do that for musicians. First month, I believe she clears $30,000 or $50,000 on her first product month, ends up retiring her husband, who is a long haul truck driver. He joins the business. By the end of the first year, it was over 1.7 million in courses sold on Kajabi. And when I asked her, I'm like, what was the biggest purchase you made? And, you know, with a business that goes from zero to 1.7 million, you're picturing like, all right, you know, is it cars or popping bottles or like whatever the Instagram culture tells you it should be? And she's like, the first thing we did is we actually bought a dining room table that was big enough that we could actually have all of our kids plus us plus friends. We'd never had a table that big. And so like, it wasn't about, I'm going to go show off for social media. It was about, this is the change that it meant for my family. And I think, Gino, I loved hearing your story about how you started looking at your kids and saying, what am I modeling? You know, what do I want them looking for out of life and how they're building it? I think that's the transformation that we hope to really amplify in the coming years. Mm-hmm. And then for the company, it's just the simple evolution of how can we find new ways to create more success for our users? That we know if all we do is focus on the success of our users, we don't need to focus on anything else. So as we see different ways in the industry that people are building businesses, might not be courses, you know, might be podcasts, might be any other type of media that people are looking at adding to their business, we're going to say, okay, we're here to make you successful. That's where the platform's going to continue to evolve and add on. So mm-hmm. next 3 years are hopefully going to look just like a bigger, faster, better version of the previous three.
Here's some free data for you guys. Gino homeschools 6 kids. I've got 2, 1 on the way, and we're homeschooling as well. So maybe there's something to
let me rephrase that. Gino's wife homeschools 6 kids. it's a big distinction. I don't want her hearing me saying that I take the credit for it. So she homeschools 6 kids. So yeah, it's awesome.
All right, guys, let's take a quick time out to hear from our sponsor.
I want to give a big shout out this week to J-Cron and to Kenny from Kajabi for being on our podcast this week. Now, the both of them, they don't even know how much they've influenced our business. They've done an amazing job with Kajabi. The company started over a decade ago, and it's grown by leaps and bounds. And more importantly, it's affected thousands and thousands thousands and thousands of lives out there. We wouldn't be where we are at Jake and Gino without the support and the help of Kajabi. They have an amazing platform for entrepreneurs like myself, like Jake, to get on and to start training and start sharing our information with others. So if you're interested, right now is the time to act, because as you know, the economy is starting to shift. It's shifting in a big way right now. So if you have a small, if you're a small business owner and you need to make that shift like Jake and I did a couple of years ago, I challenge you. They have got a great 28-day challenge that you can sign up for them for free for the next 28 days and check out their services, check out their platform. And like I'm telling you, as you continue to listen to this podcast, you're going to love their company. Click on that link down below in the show notes. Get on board. Try the 28-day challenge. I challenge you to become part of the Kajabi family. You're going to love it. Hope you enjoy the rest of the podcast, guys. Let's go out there and let's make it happen.
All right, we're back. So we had a nice transformation within our family of companies. We did some scaling up, Rockefeller Habits. I'd like you guys to expand a little bit on, you know, when you started to come together and really scale the business, the core values, et cetera, how you did that, and any tips for folks.
Yeah, great question. So I think starting out, I had a mindset shift like several years in, right? And at the beginning, it was just like, wow, I am the captain of the ship now. I can control my own destiny. I've got good income coming in, but it wasn't this growth mindset. It wasn't like the thinking early on that, wow, this company could really be a household name, you know, associated with entrepreneurship. It was just like, hey, this is a cool business and I don't have a boss kind of thing. And then, just several years ago, it was when I was like, okay, you know, there's something here. We should really, really scale this thing. And so it's only been the last several years where it's just about optimizing the business for growth and, you know, pulling those growth levers, whether it's in marketing. We just hired a new CMO who has a pretty impressive pedigree from household name, you know, kind of brands. And so he's on and we're just bolstering out our team and really seeing, okay, now how do we really scale this thing?
Yeah, I think when you think about what I define entrepreneurial purgatory, it's when you haven't figured out who you want to be and you keep changing your mind. So going back to what we talked about when you're starting out a business, and you can shift, but make sure if you do shift the mindset, you shift all of the thinking you had around the mindset that prompted you to set that goal. So if you're starting a lifestyle business and all of a sudden you're wondering if you can scale a lifestyle business, once you scale it, it's no longer a lifestyle business. And if you're starting out with a scaling business, but you're mad that it's taking up more time than you thought a lifestyle business should, you might have built the wrong model. So I think it's really something where defining what it is you're trying to do makes the journey that much easier, because you sort of are setting what you expect that to look like. And Kenny will share with you, and as will I, the scaling season is very, very different. You know, you're basically saying, okay, I have a lifestyle business with great margins, not a ton of headaches, you know, just enough that it still feels like work, but a lot of flexibility. You're going to commit to a journey where you're going to see those margins drop tremendously. You're going to see the hiring go up tremendously, expenses go up tremendously, but you're going to say, I'm doing it because I want to go through that valley to get to the next peak, which is exponentially higher and bigger for all of our users. And if you're not aware of that, scaling is scary. It's like, well, what happened? I used to make money. I used to have no headaches. I used to have few employees. And now I'm waking up to a business where I have tons of expenses, tons of employees, and a lot more complexity to navigate and manage. So I think that deciding on that scaling season is an important mindset shift, but knowing what scaling means is going to be even more important. So I think for us, it was very much that ever-growing, in our world, it's the TAM and, you know, acronym, the total addressable market. And when you started in this industry, when Kajabi started, the industry was largely a dozen guys just selling each other's courses. And now all of a sudden you see iterations of creators in all walks of life, in all areas of the globe. The TAM has changed. So what started as a business that had a very small market has now grown to a business that has global implications of how digital entrepreneurs will interact with the world around them and start businesses. So I think that that's another thing that has really driven that desire to scale and grow, is, like Kenny said, that awareness of what it is evolving into. And it's far bigger than I think either of us would have ever imagined this corner of digital entrepreneurship would have been.
So Jake, I think everyone needs to write this down. Revenue is vanity, profit margin is sanity, and cash is king. Don't grow just to grow. Just because we have 1,500 units doesn't mean I want 6,000 or 7,000 units. There's got to be a reason why I want to grow. And buying good deals is always important out there. So as an entrepreneur, as you're growing, just make sure you're growing for the right reasons and make sure you want to grow just because you want to grow, not because you want to be on Instagram and show everybody how much money you're making. It's not just about making money. It's about scaling responsibly and about enjoying it.
Gino, I got to ask you, man, I totally remember that quote, but I'm trying to remember. I had heard it before, yeah. But the version was, revenue is vanity, profit is sanity, overhead begs to walk on two legs. I'm totally trying to remember that, dude. I love that quote.
I'm literally
going to Google this as soon as I get off of here.
Got it from our scaling up coaches. And it's an important concept because as you start adding on layers and layers, you start losing it. And I like the intimacy of the Jake and Gino education. I love to be able to get on what we call blueprint calls with our students when we sign them up and give them that one-on-one attention. And we think it's a vital component to it. It's the accountability component that we think makes our students successful. So I agree to what you and Kenny, you're both saying, just don't grow just for the sake of growing. Have a reason why you're growing. And if you can add on and you can start adding different layers on there that'll help you out, do it. If not, don't do it just for the sake of growing. I agree 100%.
Lifestyle by design. So I have this really cool infographic in my head, but I missed a piece of what you're saying. So you have a profitable lifestyle business over here. The bridge from that profitable lifestyle business is scale, right? You're kind of crossing the moat. But what did you define the larger scale business? What did you call it? I forgot.
Oh, so just basically the difference between a lifestyle business and a scaling business. And I wish it was a bridge, but it's definitely more of a valley. Like a bridge would be like beautiful. You're walking across it, enjoying all of the vistas as you go.
Yeah.
The valley is more like, damn
it.
It's like
the jungle. You got
to
go in the jungle.
I used to be up there and it was so nice and comfortable. And now I'm down here and it's a lot of work to get up there.
So it's like, yeah, you got the profitable lifestyle business, like the Dalio thing. You got to go through the jungle to get to that diamond on the mountain over there, which is a scaled out, large scale, efficient, well-oiled machine business. So,
Well, and I think the thing that I think entrepreneurs rarely talk about, and I don't know if, if Kenny has ever felt this because, Kenny's a badass. That's why I work for him and follow him. But I would say that a lot of entrepreneurs really underestimate the amount of personal growth that will be required of you. Because if you are in a business that you are trying to scale and you are hiring people that you're comfortable managing because you know more than they do, you will never scale. Mm-hmm. So it really is this mental through the looking glass experience of how do I get comfortable hiring people smarter than me that know things I don't know, but still be able to lead them, manage them, feel like I can move them in the direction we all need to go. There is a tremendous amount of inner game that goes through that process.
Are you referring to when I hired you?
A lot of self-awareness, right?
No. Not when you hired me because you needed more good-looking people on the executive team.
Yeah, is this a plug? Is this a plug for J-Cron right now, or what? What's going on?
I wouldn't shamelessly put that in there.
No, but I mean,
I was a marketer first, and bringing in a CMO that's coming out of Nike and Adidas and BuzzFeed and, launching shoe lines and launching, Call of Duty in Asia and like giant, giant marketing projects. And there was a moment I'm like, I don't know what I'm bringing to the party here. This will be fun.
Yeah. I think a lot of self-awareness, a lot of humility, killing the ego there. But Kenny, so this dovetails right into it. A lot of growth. What is your best habit for success, whether it's, something you do on a weekly or daily basis that's helped you grow?
I mean, for me early on, I think the times of kind of elevated growth were when I took time away from the busyness just to think, just to clear my head and to strategize a plan and not play defense, but get on the offense. And so there were times where I would take some time and I would come back to the office and say, okay, I got something. And each of those times seemed like it was a really good thing for the business. Lately though, I think it's what J-Cron just said. It's really just, sacrificing any ego or imposter syndrome and hiring really, really good people. So it's not that I'm sitting there every day making these magical decisions, to drive the company forward. We've got an amazing team that's doing it. And so I think really that's the secret is finding really good people, holding to, you know, we have an unwritten code. We haven't memorialized it yet, but we keep saying we're going to, is no egos and no assholes at the company. So we've got an amazing team that gets along. There's not a lot of politics or backstabbing or anything like that, but just really good, skilled, experienced individuals.
He's being very humble here, folks. I'm not going to let him off the hook on this one. So I'm, you know, not to be corny or cliche, but literally when I take a really hot shower, and this is not to get perverted, a lot of times I jump out and I'm like, Gino, I got this idea. And I call him. It happens all the time. So is there anything that, like, were there moments?
Hey, Kenny, I told you it wasn't weird for me to call you. And I was like, I told you.
I'm telling you. No, it's true. So, you know, I want people, like, there's something real to this and I've experienced it. And I just want you to dive a little deeper into it. Was there anything around those moments of inspiration? Are those moments of clarity when you really you got, you know, deep and you were able to say, oh shit, I think I got something? Was there any correlation or anything that, you know, you can share with the folks where like, man, when I did this is when things popped?
It was always at just unexpected times. There was a time, yeah, I was getting a haircut and I was sitting there and it was just like normally a busy day and trying to grow the team and all that stuff. And I couldn't do anything else. I was just sitting there getting my haircut. And I thought of this idea. It was around the founding launch of the new Kajabi, the platform we have today. So this was in 2015. And we had just started this pre-launch campaign to try to build up interest for this new platform we were going to be launching. And I remember thinking like Willy Wonka, golden ticket, you know, that was cool in that movie. I liked it.
I remember that.
What if we incorporated that in the launch and we sold to these founders, right? The people that signed up early, but then we took it back away, right? So we just had the small group of beta testers, almost, you could think of it that way. And then we were like, okay, how are we going to open it up again to the public? And so we did these golden tickets and we gave each founder that had already gotten in 3 golden tickets, you know, so they could invite 3 friends. So it was this exclusive kind of thing for them to go share out and say, hey, you know, I only have 3 of these, but if you're serious and you want to join Kajabi, you can too. And that was just the result of just sitting quietly in a haircut.
Yeah, I think that's the key. It's very similar. Sometimes you just got to shut it down when everything's moving a million miles, you know, per hour. You got to shut it down and go deep. So, all right, Jay Cron, give us a book reco.
I'm actually going to ask you to write the new book, Bathing for Business, and just see where it goes. So like, I'm just going to basically get the shower brainstorming techniques that you're really using to build your business. That's my plan. But no, it's funny.
So Gino's starting a publishing company. So as long as you run it through there, we're fine with it.
Naturally. No, I would say book recommendation. One of my all-time favorites without question would have to be How to Get Rich by Felix Dennis. Oddly enough, I went ahead and I Googled that quote that we were just talking about, and it actually is a Felix Dennis quote out of this book. But the reason that I love this book so much, Felix Dennis was from scratch, billion-dollar player in the UK, but it is probably the most honest and authentic book what the journey really looks like. Mm-hmm. And bear in mind, unvarnished, unedited, definitely some adult language and concepts, but it is very much, this is what it's really like from a guy that did it. And it's probably for me been one of the most perspective shifting books that I've really enjoyed. That would be a big one that I absolutely felt was tremendously impactful.
Does Felix talk about equity in the book all the time? You have to have ownership. Oh. You have to. Yeah. Okay. So I read that years ago. And if you're not ready for that book, don't read it, because you're going to be insulted. You're going to be offended. But you know what? That's what the truth does. And it really, that's when the multifamily came into my life. I said, I need to have equity in these deals. That's how I'm going to get rich, is with equity, not with these stupid transactions, making 20 grand here, 50 grand there. There's nothing wrong with that, but you're not building anything. And that, for me, thanks for reminding me of that book.
And
that
the second book. One that I would say that is equally impactful in a different way is Stephen Pressfield's The War of Art.
Yes.
Stephen Pressfield, Legend of Bagger Vance, was a screenplay that he wrote. He's written tons of bestsellers in the Greek history world. And The War of Art is basically his journey of, for those of you that believe that a creative business is fueled by sporadic creativity, you couldn't be more wrong. This is what it really looks like. And this is how you got to show up if you're going to win. If you're early starting out and you're looking at what mindset do I need to adopt to win, no matter what business you're starting, I believe that book is the perfect manual.
I love that, everybody. The word resistance, what does that mean to you? If you feel resistance, that means you're doing the right thing. Don't give in to resistance. You're on the right path. Sign up to Kajabi and start putting your information out there, because if that's what you're resisting against, you need to do it. So thanks for the reco. I love that book.
Yeah, and one thing on your point, Gino and Jake, this is one of the reasons I know Kenny and I were so excited to hop on this podcast with you. And for all of you listening, this is something that I'm going to encourage you to do. Be very selective for the mentors that you choose. That, you know, when you're looking at what Jake and Gino have accomplished, they're living this every single day. They are doing multifamily deals. They're financing multifamily deals. They're teaching how to do what they do daily. Mm-hmm. And when you choose mentors, make sure you're choosing somebody who's in the ring, taking blows, is actually going through the fight, because you're going to get the information you need in the time that you need it to be able to take action on it. It's certainly something where, depending on the mentor you choose, that's going to really dictate a lot of the path that you're on. So if you are listening to this, you definitely need to stay plugged into these guys. You definitely need to begin taking action on what they're sharing with you, because they're doing it daily. So it's not, hey, this is an idea, you should take action on it. It's, no, we did this yesterday and it's working today and you should do it too. So whenever you're looking at a business model and you're looking at mentors to follow, whether it's a course, whether it's a podcast, whether it's a blog article, just make sure that you've got a standard by which you're giving people access to your brain and your path. And I'm certainly happy that we've got guys like Jake and Gino teaching on the platform, because they're doing it. And I know that whoever watches it is going to be impacted by it.
Appreciate that, Jay Cron. Before we wrap up, guys, what are you excited about right now? What can we expect from Kajabi coming up?
Lots of cool things on the product roadmap, just other ways to really empower our customers. And so we're listening to our customers all the time, hearing their pain points and just trying to solve those. So, you know, the next several months is going to be very exciting in terms of what's released and in the platform.
Yeah, you're going to see iteration happen faster than you ever have. We just, outside of, you know, the quarantine and all the craziness there, we literally just got our certificate of occupancy yesterday for our new 51,000 square foot office. We will be doubling our development team in probably the next 3 to 4 months. So the speed of iteration and the ability for us to empower our heroes' businesses is going to grow exponentially. Yeah. So
since the quarantine started, I mean, at the beginning of March, we've hired 50 people, you know, so while the rest of the world is hunkering down, you know, we're really expanding. So there's a lot of cool things coming.
Yeah. I mean, probably no better time in the history of the world to, you know, start a business like this, because people are going to need it more so than ever. So you guys are doing really good work. What's the best way for folks to start the conversation with you?
Kajabi.com. Sign up for the free trial.
14 days for free. Let it rip. Right, Gino?
Let it rip, my friend.
All right. Sounds good. Guys, we really appreciate it. Gino, any final words here before we hop off?
Like I said, it's been an honor and a privilege to have both of these gentlemen on, because they've grown an amazing business, and it's only been a decade. I mean, really, it's only been 10 years. Kenny worked for a year. That's the process, everybody. Let me break it down for you real quick. He was a commodities trader. He was doing his thing. He was doing software. He tried to create a product. He tried to sell it. And he said, this is not working. I think my passion is software. So he goes out and he starts building a business, and he works for 12 months, a year, without getting paid. He launches it. And what's amazing is he bootstraps it, and he has a few thousand people paying him for the product. And he could have been happy and successful there and could have said, I've got a great lifestyle. I've got guitars hanging out behind me. I can hang out in California making enough money. But no, he knows that there's more, and he knows that he can grow more. And he brings Jay Cron on. Then Jay Cron gets fired. Then Jay Cron comes back on. I'm still confused about that story. I'm just going to try to get that in my mind. But
yeah, you know, we are too.
and he continues to grow the business. And the great thing about it is everybody, they know their core values. They're living their core values. They don't want assholes in their business. That's great. That's what's amazing. They have the clarity and they continue to build it. Now it's built to $1 billion a year that their students are creating. And that's only going to amplify. So you can see the exponential growth. The first 3 years might've been like this. Then the curve starts going up. And what I love what Jay Cron said is you don't have to quit your job. You can do this part-time and figure out if you like it. It's not burning the ships. The 10% Entrepreneur is another great book where you can go out there. And I had a similar journey. I had the umbilical cord. I had 6 kids. I can't leave my job. Everyone's telling me to do that, but I was weaned. You know, I was weaned. It took my time. Don't go out there and rush. Have a plan and surround yourself with some amazing people. And I think Jake, the last thing I'd like to say is, who's your customer? Jake Kahn made a really important point about marketing. Who is your customer? Who are you trying to solve a problem for? Always think about the go-giver with Bob Berg. You're always out there giving out as much as you can, and ultimately it's going to come back to you. So all these points have been great. And I just want to thank you both for spending some time with us today and just sharing your story. It's been, for me, an inspirational story. And I will be a lifelong Kajabi user. Guys,
Thanks for having us on.
I appreciate
this is great.
Being in the trenches. You know, people that are scaling a business. You know, I love talking to other guys that are in the trenches with it, and I can tell that you guys know what you're doing, have been through it. So I really appreciate your time.
Take care.
Absolute pleasure, guys. Thank you.
Thank you, guys.
Thanks.